Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 21st of 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. Talks to reopen the Strait of Hormuz are advancing, Qatari and U.S. officials said on Tuesday, so that's today. Qatar's foreign ministry spokesperson said negotiators have circulated draft agreement language amongst the parties. Brent crude, the international benchmark price used to set oil costs worldwide, fell more than 2% to about $82 a barrel as markets reacted to the news. The drop shows investor optimism that a deal would ease the supply disruptions that have rattled global energy markets since Iran blockaded the strait, which is a major passage for oil and gas, which happened in late February when things reignited between Iran and Israel and, of course, U.S. bases and other regional partners like the UAE. There was hits on Bahrain all over the region. Over the weekend, Trump threatened a massive military escalation against Iran, then abruptly reversed course, saying that there's pleas for calm from regional allies. It's not clear what Qatar's role is here exactly. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said that he expects a deal within a day or two. For the third year in a row, a record number of Israelis have left the country. That's according to a new study published this week from researchers at Tel Aviv University. By analyzing data provided by the Central Bureau of Statistics, the study found that around 50,000 Israelis left the country for more than a year in both 2023 and 2024, and that trend continued into 2025. The report argues that prolonged war and political tensions have contributed to a mass wave of departures and warns that it could threaten Israel's long-term strategic interests. In 2025, nearly 91,000 Israelis remained abroad for 3 months or more, compared to 91,500 in 2024, so that's actually a little less, 500 less, and around 86,500 in 2023. For context, the number of Israelis leaving the country was about 60,000, and that was the average between 2010 and 2019. I also want to note that Israel hit a census of 10 million this year, so we do have more people in the country than we had in years prior. In election 2026 news, former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett added four women to his Beyachad party's Knesset slate, bringing the total number of female candidates to 17. Those newly added include Esti Ayalon Kubo, the former head of Israel's economic delegation to China and an Israeli economic diplomat, Olesya Kantor, who founded Lev Ish after October 7th, an organization that provides therapy to survivors dealing with anxiety and PTSD, Bruria Naim Erman, the party's director general, who previously held a high-ranking position in the transportation ministry, and Orly Harel, head of the Beyachad women's branch, also an AI expert, a prominent social advocate, and a former Likud party member who founded the Likud Women of Jerusalem Forum. Bennett also noted that women make up a majority of the Beyachad party's candidates and says it's not intended to be a case of gender inclusion, but as a simple decision we made when we set out to include the very best people, end quote. The current government has been criticized for having had the least number of women in parliament since the 90s. The current Knesset, which is the 25th Knesset, which was elected in 2022, has 31 women out of 120 seats. That's about 26%. It started at 29 women in 2022, but it rose to 31 after a couple of replacements came in. The first woman who ever entered the Knesset was in 1949, when the first Knesset was elected for the state of Israel, where there were 11 women. That was 9% of seats. Among them included Golda Meir and Rachel Cohen Kagan, who were also the two women who signed Israel's Declaration of Independence in 1948. Women's share of the Knesset has climbed a lot over time, but unevenly. It sat in the single digits through the 1950s all the way to the 90s and started rising only in the 2000s and peaked at 38 seats, which is still only 32% in the 23rd Knesset in 2020. It's actually dropped a bit since then, 36, which was 30% in 2021, and 26%, which is where we're at now. As of a July 2026 Knesset committee hearing, Israel ranked 97th out of 189 countries on women's parliamentary representation, which for me, as a woman living in Israel, is totally unacceptable. If you don't know, I run events for a nonprofit organization called Tribe Tel Aviv, and we're running a political series where we're hosting each of the political parties by bringing in one of their members to do an intimate talk with our international community so that newcomers can identify who they might want to vote for come October. Tomorrow, which is Wednesday, we're going to host a young member of the Biyachad party. By the way, Biyachad means in it together. Yonatan Shalev, who is 23 years old, is poised to become the youngest ever member of the Knesset. The Biyachad party is the party that we just mentioned this whole story about having added four female members to its slate. Well, they're under the leader, Naftali Bennett. You might recognize his name because he was the prime minister of Israel for a bit. If you are between the ages of 20 and 40, get in touch or sign up for our newsletter at Tribe Tel Aviv. I'll be the host of the event and will be representing the Israel Daily News by putting on my reporter hat and asking some tough questions to the political candidates for this ongoing series. A 75-year-old man was hospitalized on Saturday with a brain hemorrhage after being assaulted for taking down a banner which called for the release of Yigal Amir. It was a group of far-right teenagers who dragged and kicked the older man while he was taking down that banner. Yigal Amir is the far-right activist who assassinated Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in 1995. Amir was opposed to the 1993 Oslo Accords, and on the evening of November 4th, 1995, Amir fired three shots directly at Rabin, which ended his life. This took place at the massive peace rally in Tel Aviv that Rabin held. Today, it's called Rabin Square. After getting off the stage, the prime minister was shot and killed at that rally. The 75-year-old victim who was assaulted is named Elon Mainz, and he filed a complaint with the police. But after a week, no arrests have been made. His left hand became unresponsive 2 days after the assault, and then he had a brain hemorrhage. He was expected to undergo brain surgery on Monday. No word on how he's doing. In recent years, as more right-wing sentiment emerges, more Israelis are calling for the release of Yigal Amir. Now, the daughter of Elon Mainz, who was assaulted, that 75-year-old man, his daughter Talia revealed to Army Radio that her father was a lieutenant in the Israel Defense Forces and had been present at the very peace rally that Rabin spoke at shortly before his life was ended that night, November 4th, 1995. A well-known lawyer in Rishon LeZion was murdered at his office near the Golden Mall in a targeted attack on Tuesday. Emergency responders arrived at the scene and found the victim unconscious, and experts think that he had a gunshot wound. He was pronounced dead shortly after this. A 20-year-old resident of Ramle turned himself in, and an investigation has been opened. The incident is being treated as a suspected assassination attempt, but the victim's name has yet to be released. The Israel Daily News now has its own direct donation platform after losing dozens of supporters last year during Spotify's takeover of my distribution site. Listeners can now contribute monthly or make one-time donations directly through the website. Support helps keep our independent journalism alive and growing. You can also follow Israel Daily News across our social media platforms on Instagram, TikTok, X, and LinkedIn at israeldaily.news or Israel Podcast on X. And you'll be pleased to find a lot of our video content there. If you're listening to our show on Spotify, you can also watch it on Spotify or YouTube. And you can also see our video reels and video reports online. India is proving itself to be a great ally of Israel. And a report is out that the country of 1.5 billion people has ramped up arms shipments to Israel since the war began on October 7th. India has sent nearly 2,600 consignments of weapons, ammunition, and components between October 7th, 2023, and November 30th, according to a new Amnesty International report. November meaning last November, so that's technically 2025. The supply chain largely feeds Israeli defense giants like Elbit Systems, Israel Aerospace Industries, and Rafael, which have leaned into Modi's Made in India self-reliance push, which requires India to produce at least 50% of everything at home. So Israel's benefiting from that. India remains Israel's top defense export destination by far, accounting for 29% of Israeli defense exports from 2021 to 2025, ahead of Germany's 21%, despite Germany's $3.5 billion Aero 3 deal. And that's Israeli technology. Total Israeli defense exports over that period hit $71 billion. Major General Reservist Amir Baram, who is the Ministry of Defense Director General, has been the point man on the relationship between Israel and India, framing it as a part of a broader anti-Iran alignment. All right, well, that is it for today's news. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. Tel Aviv has a low of 70 degrees Fahrenheit and a high of 90 degrees. That's about 21 degrees Celsius for a low, going up to 32 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, it has a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our incredible sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, our writer, Perry Schwartz, and our associate producer, Lori May. Have a great and productive day, everyone. Shavua Tov.